home, my home email. And if you need me, if you use my office address for stuff that's important, I'll get it a much sooner.
Okay.
So I didn't have a chance to read all the emails, but
Right. Hey, Dave, would you start us with a prayer, brother?
yeah, I can do that. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for this moment and the progress we've made, and thankful for Jason and Megan and their family and their considerations. And Father, we ask for your guidance and your wisdom as we kind of parse through some details here and see what we can do to make this come together. We pray that this is a small hurdle for a long-term blessing, and help us figure that out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So would it be a good place to start is like if Steve just gave us kind of summary of his communication with Jason, anything that we might have missed, and kind of your sense in talking to him where he might be, Steve.
Okay, well, I don't have much. I just have what I sent to you guys. He's in Orlando with his in-laws and his family this week. He came back tonight. And so I sent him the stuff. And I called him right when he got off the I called him right when he was getting on the plane, but he said he'd call me right when he got off. So I had a brief discussion with him then. I sent him our memo of understanding, and then he sent me the a response that I sent to you guys that his salary package is 80,000 for salary, and he has $5,000 for insurance. And then he asked me the question, and Dave, you clarified, which is exactly what I had to do at CFS. We basically at CFS for them paying for my insurance, they just increased my income for how much the insurance was, plus however much taxes would be on that money to take care of that. Is that kind of what you were thinking we could do if he?
No, the exact opposite. With the, when Obamacare Act passed, they made it illegal to reimburse people for, or at least in categories, to reimburse people for health insurance. Instead of taking our health insurance plan, here's the money, go buy what you want. And that's illegal because too many people were keeping the money and not getting insurance. And the whole purpose was to get people on insurance around the country. So now there are workarounds for that, but that's really not considered kosher any longer as a practice. Or you can imagine if somebody was single and you say, here's your health insurance allowance. Well, you're single, you're not using all of it. We'll give you the rest in cash. You're actually paying them more than the person with a family who's using the allowance. Well, that's family discrimination or child parenthood discrimination, or same with different ages of people. You're using a lot of the allowance, you're not using much, you're discriminating in your pay. So what they want is a full-time package that everybody's eligible for. And there are ways to work around that, like I hinted at. But in general, it's not a reimbursement arrangement. So I just want to make sure that's not the kind of language we're using or
So what is the way we can work around it?
so if we knew that he didn't need the insurance or only needed single coverage instead of family, that would help us to give him a higher wage and afford it. But he would have the right to take family coverage if he ever needed that. We couldn't take that away from him. And then we would be in the position if that happened, okay, you have the right to this insurance. We can't afford your salary anymore. We're going to have to reduce your salary.
Okay.
So it's semantics in a way, but there's you hate to go there if you don't have to because of the way it could play out in the future. But there would be a way to do it.
Okay.
And if and I, he was kind of asking a what if. I don't know if he would need family coverage especially if they're moving here. I don't know what kind of, you know, and so you end up playing this game that doesn't feel good to anybody if you can, if you can avoid it. But the reality is, if he says, hey, I'm not going to need insurance or whatever, we could more easily say, okay, here's the wage that we can pay. And then, you know, that's how it plays out. We could do that. But he would have a right to the coverage if he needed it.
So David, not necessarily a direct question on this, but just curious. If he doesn't participate in our insurance group, does that raise the premiums for everybody because it puts us in a higher bracket and other things? And if he does participate, it helps the group?
No. With our current model, we are so small, we really don't have a standalone group. And so we're piggybacking on our Chamber of Commerce membership that allows us to participate in a larger group. So one person in or out isn't going to make a big difference. If you did have a workforce of, say, 100 people, and you had, you know, 20% of them opting out, you are weakening your pool of your group. That is a theory to be sensitive to, but that's not really the bucket we're in.
I'm just a little confused. I want to be understand this. So currently he receives a salary of 80,000 plus an allowance of 5,000 that he uses for health insurance.
That's my understanding. Yes.
And what we proposed was a salary of 65,000 plus his coverage was going to cost us about 15,000 or 14,400 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty close. Yeah.
Okay, so it's the question of salary versus salary, basically, right? And then health insurance coverage is really a benefit.
That's what it seems like,
So, okay, I just wanted to be sure I understood that before we go any further. So,
how much for our staff, how much are they paying for insurance for somebody his age or an estimate?
Well, the coverage for a single individual isn't based on age because of this group that we're in. And it's about $6,800 a year right now for individual coverage. And because that's below the 14.4 that we allow, they don't have to pay anything to be in our health insurance premium wise. They just have to deal with the deductibles, co-pays, that kind of thing that the plan has.
But if the 1200 is for individual and also his family, if they would choose to get right.
That's right. And so typically if he had a family of four to cover, it's probably going to cost him maybe $17,000 a year. And our allowance of 14.4 means maybe he's got $3,000 a year out of pocket, 300 a month, 400 a month. Those are ballpark estimates for what it would cost. And with the new year, I need to fine tune those with Elizabeth, but that's pretty, it's basically where we are. You can get family coverage for a few hundred a month. That's a good deal, marketplace wise, but I'm just compared to what he's used to. So I do think I have a solution here without creating some weird, you know, hoop to jump through. But I wanted us to start before I went to that. I wanted to ask, what do we want to pay him? What are we willing to pay him given this set of circumstances?
One more question before we ask that question.
Yes.
Do we know, has he taken advantage of the housing allowance where he is?
I think he has. I think when we were together talking about it, we talked about something like that, and he shook his head like he knew about the housing allowance.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really nice benefit to make sure he's aware of.
Yeah, because that certainly increases his net pay for sure.
Right, And so, I talked with Mike Runcie. He used to be the executive director at Otter Creek, and he kind of knows salaries. And I kind of told him what we were offering Jason. And he said, that's kind of low.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's Otter Creek.
Well, no, he was not just Otter Creek, but he's just seen in pretty much maybe in Tennessee. Tennessee is a little higher, but in the South is a little higher also. And Jason's coming from a right at the edge of the Bible Belt, probably, I would think.
You're muted,
Brett.
So from what Siebert put out, I wouldn't say that it was low. It may be on the normal side, but you know, I think that there may be room for wiggle in that, you know, if we think, you know, it's worth paying them.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, it would be very nice if he could come here without a pay cut being part of that. But is 80 okay? Or do we feel like we've got to even offer him even more than that? Or if we stretch to 80 and we work with him, we, you know, kind of explain the situation, find out his health insurance needs. Is that what we're working toward, or are we working toward something different than 80?
I would think 80 matching that, I think he has more benefits on with our package than what he would have with his, with the retirement and with the shepherding fund and education and training. But he didn't give me any of that information, so I don't know. But
right, right.
But it did sound like his whole package was 80 plus 5, but he is an artist. And sometimes, and this isn't against him, but just knowing artists, sometimes they forget some of the details or don't put that in. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and if we go to 80, it doesn't change our expenses at all, right? Because we're not paying the 14.4 for the health insurance. So it's kind of a wash for us.
Well, we don't know. That's what clarification we would need. It would be very helpful if he says, I know I don't need that. Or if he says, I only need individual coverage, whatever my wife has, and cover the her and the family. And so that's a point of clarification that helps us reach that goal.
Well, I mean, how would he even know if he needs that yet until she comes here and gets a job?
Exactly. And that's what kind of prompts his question, was a little bit of a, you know, I guess it was a what if, because he doesn't know, or at least looking down the road, you know, maybe they know whatever kind of job she's after is likely, even if it's not at the beginning. Maybe, I mean, he'll be the breadwinner at the beginning. He needs the whole thing. Yeah. That's, I think, worth clarifying a little with him as we talk through.
And I think with the clarification in what Autry was saying is, you know, Jason may be an artsy guy, and I think it may be good, Dave, if you just offered, or, you know, Autry, if you would say, hey, if you'd like 15 minutes with Dave Weiler to kind of talk through numbers, and so we can kind of understand where things are, and maybe make sure that he understands what we're offering and that we understand what he may be leaving on the table, those kinds of things. But it may be good to get David up front instead of putting him in the middle.
Let me just throw something out, and we can either wiggle with that or scrap it. One thing I thought is maybe instead of the $65,000, we offer them $75,000, and then everything else remains the same except for some percentages. Is that too much, too little? Let me just propose that.
Well, I would only counter with, number one, asking the question. Seems like we're all pretty convinced that he's the pick for us, you know, that he's the good fit for us for all the reasons we talked about and so forth. So to me, what goes with that is, what is the reasonable amount to offer him?
Right.
Irregardless of what the surveys say and all that kind of stuff.
The going rate, yeah.
Yeah. And I think if that's 80, if that's 85, if that's 75, whatever that is, I think then we just feel confident with that and then offer that with the benefit that we've already listed, that if he needs the health insurance, we give him the health insurance or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just go forward with that. I think it's a matter of, I don't think it's a matter of dollars. I think it's a matter of how good we feel about him as our candidate. I don't think he's trying to put the screws to us or anything like that. It doesn't appear. So I think his intentions are noble, and I think our intentions are noble in that we want to do the right thing for him too, that would make him want to come and stay and be a part of this community of faith. So,
yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I feel good. Again, 80,000, if he's truly at 80,000 now salary, it makes sense, I guess, in some way that he's got lots of years of experience and he's at a huge, you know, school. I mean, University of Tennessee, there's not many bigger schools that carries a lot of responsibility, and he's had a lot of responsibility there. So I don't begrudge him that salary at all. And maybe that's where we begin, you know? And I think we can feel good about that because we feel good about him, but just my thought. And I think we can do it within the budget. I don't think we have to, do anything extraordinary as far as seeking more contributions or anything, because if that's what it's going to be, then we just make it work that way.
Well, and I would even say definitely the first year, because we'll only be paying 6 months worth of salary. And then if we get into the second year, I really liked this thinking outside the box that Steve Walker did. And maybe it's next year at this time, we come together and say, okay, we need to up it to help that. And I don't know if we'll need to do that. And Dave does wonders and does magic with budgets, but I agree. Yeah.
I do think, let's see. Well, your point's a really good one, Steve. And that in this first year, you know, we're probably going to be paying him 7 months instead of 12. We've got, you know, a full salary in there. So if it's 80, let's just say, for discussion, you know, we could do that this first year. And then for year two, there's actually a little bit of cushion in this year's budget in that we've got Jeff McGlaughan in there for 6 months, and we don't think we're going to need him a year from now. That drops out of the budget. And so that gives us the extra money to cover for the year two, to try to keep it simple. Even if contributions stayed flat with what we're asking, you know, now if they go down again, that's a whole different thing that could happen no matter what we offer him. So that has to get dealt with. But because it's a partial year this first year, you know, if it's 80, that's doable. The budget right now is covering a full salary at 65. Actually, I had 68 in there because we didn't know what we were going to offer. And so, you know, we can do 80 and feel like we're not setting ourselves up for a problem at the in 26.
I think if he's getting 80 now, it would make sense to make sure that he feels like he's not losing or going backwards. And I would agree, you know, tell him we'll make it 80. And, you know, if that doesn't work, then I think we got to talk more, but hopefully he would, I want him to feel like, you know, we're not trying to nickel and dime and, want to hold him harmless, so to speak, and making the move.
And then
keep the rest of it the same. I agree. I think we have to be consistent with that, with all the staff, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, him understanding if he doesn't need it all, that's great, you know.
Yeah, right.
That helps us. But he's got the right to that full package if needed, and it's in place for him. So that would be good to be able to say.
So his total package will be right around 100,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if we bump it 15, then, you know, 101 probably is what it'll come to.
Yeah, so that doesn't give me a whole lot of heartburn. And again, I'm with Steve Walker, and I'm willing to pitch in if I need to. But the other is, we all think Jason's a great guy, but we all think Jason is green in some areas. And he's still going to have a couple years to grow. And so we're paying him a pretty good salary. I don't know how you communicate that. But I think it's worth getting him here if that's what it takes.
I
And
guess the
then.
question boils down to, it's not, I mean, we've talked about what's market and all that, but I think we're looking at market. You know, I
Right.
think,
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we searched for the guy that fits the bill closest as we can, and he's at 80 grand already, you know, so I don't know that we could argue the fact that a survey is going to be more real than what we're actually seeing, you know, so.
And another thing I was thinking about is I've always thought when you have a staff, you have to have the same system as far as paying, but not paying the same. And I even thought with Jason, looking at the teacher salaries, he's got, how many years does he have outside of ministry? Eight, something like that. And that work outside of ministry is work that has developed some of his ministry skills he has today. And I think, and he'll be 40 years old next year. And we've got Nathan that's 26. So you got 14 years difference there. I think you could still justify the same type of paying system on there. Although you don't have to always be fair, but I think would be in the same ballpark with him with ministry experience plus some of the his work experiences at getting him around the same area.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that. I mean, what is Nathan's? What, 24 years old or 25 years
He's
old?
20, he's 26.
All right, 26 years old. So, by the time he's 40, I'm pretty sure he'll be at that
Yeah,
range, you
right.
know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, have we made the decision?
Well, I guess part of it though is, are you going to communicate this, or do we want Dave Weiler to communicate it in case there's some money to be dealt with, or is it an explaining of what we're looking at?
I think I can do it. It's not a whole lot of differences other than the increase in that and then the insurance. I can explain a little bit about the insurance that we can't do that, but there's things, ways we can work around it if we need to. I think he was just given a hypothetical, so he wouldn't understand our
Well,
hypothetical.
I think it's most important that he understand, and maybe he does already understand, that if he does not take our insurance, he doesn't get the $14,400 as
Yeah.
additional
Okay.
salary.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he's thinking that, but that's not the same as an allowance for him to use or whatever.
Right.
That's our cost of his insurance.
Of his and his family's. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think I can explain that to him.
Steve, did anything come up about the situation with the foster baby at all? I
Again,
mean, had they thought
we
about it
haven't.
anymore?
When I talked with them, I said, I know this is an important factor that you have to consider, and nobody really knows what's going to happen with that at this point. And they may have done some research since last time we when he was here, but I don't know.
So I think I want him to not feel like we were trying to lowball him before, but that we're willing to invest in him and, you know, appreciate his transparency. That helps us because we haven't hired somebody for a while. So,
yeah.
You know, we put our best foot forward and, you know, we're adjusting accordingly. You know, so
yeah. And what we're doing now and what he has done is, in my opinion, in my experience, the worst part of ministry is having to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it's stuff that it has to be talked about.
Yeah.
And stuff that as a minister has to bring up to protect his family.
Yeah. So, well, it sounded like from his communication that they will be fasting and praying on Friday when they get and rested. You'll need to talk to them before then so that they have that full picture. I don't know timing-wise what looks good.
I'm going to call them at 10 o'clock in the morning is what we set a scheduled time for. Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for that. I think that gives them time to digest things and see where we're at. And so, okay. That's good.
And I will tell him to let me know by Sunday before 10 p.m. I would like to know before Sunday. So
Sunday at 10 p.m. or Saturday at 10 p.m.?
Saturday at 10 p.m. Yeah. I may make it earlier than that because I'm old. I'll go to bed. I'll tell him Saturday evening to let us know.
So if that's good news and you send us all a text, are we communicating on this Sunday about that, or do we have something canned because we need to polish it more? You know, if we do get, I think if we get a negative, we're definitely not communicating because we've got to regroup and, you know, pursue John, et cetera. But if we get a positive this Saturday, how important is it that we move really quickly, you know, with that? People might see it. I don't know.
I think first we have to communicate to John before we let the church know.
Okay. Excellent.
And is that something you could do, Steve?
I can.
On Saturday night, if we get a yes.
Yeah.
And if we get a no, then we don't have to do anything, I guess, and just see how we want to approach the next step.
I just think, and again, this is all brainstorming, but I do think when we do communicate to the congregation, we can tell them who the tentative start date, and then in the meantime, once a month visit or something like that. It would be nice to be able to paint that picture at one time as opposed to, oh, we're still working on that or whatever. And I don't know if how many more details than that, but I would think at a minimum that would be a really ideal.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing is, I would think he might not be able to commit to that Saturday about coming once a month or until he talks to his employers and all that.
Yeah.
I gave him a little leverage on that, you know, leeway on that to let us be thinking about it, but let us know soon if that would be a possibility.
Yeah. And he would probably say, he's going to try to work that out and we can communicate to the church. He'll start June 1st. We're looking at June 1st, but they'll be coming up. He and maybe they'll be coming up some between now and then. And we'll explain to him, he's got a foster child wanting to adopt and his wife finishing up her PhD and that we feel like he's the guy and we'll work with whatever we have to between now and then.
Okay.
And so how do you communicate that, Steve?
Whoever is doing the Shepherd's Prayer on Sunday at the end of service.
No, I'm sorry. Not with the congregation, but with Jason. So, if I were Jason, there may be several ways to interpret that. It may be the church is saying I can come to St. Louis once a month with my wife and kids and they'll, pay my airfare and my hotel, you know, every month that I want to. And I don't know if that's what we're saying. So I just want to understand what it is that we're communicating or what we're offering.
Well, I think it'd be too early to work out those details, but we'll just, the conceptual thing of we want him to come to St. Louis regularly, whatever that would be, that would fit into his existing job. And sometimes it might be him coming by himself. Sometimes it might be he, maybe like at spring break, they could come up as a family for a week, and then they could be looking for a house and all that kind of stuff. But I think those details, we don't have to communicate to the church because he won't know them. It'll be a little too much for him.
Yeah. Right. It's not the church. It's more the communication to him, how he might interpret that, because the expense of flying him up and keeping him and his wife and his daughter, you know, three airplane tickets monthly, you know, if he's saying, yeah, that's what they're offering, and I don't know that we are. And so I just didn't know what it is we are offering.
Well, I think we can be vague. I think it's just be vague now and then try to work it out. And I think let them know that Allegiance goes from Knoxville to Muscoota for $50. You know, we would expect something like that. And somebody even said, maybe it was at the elders meeting, maybe we give him a stipend, $1,000, and he can use it however he wants for each time he comes up. And I don't know. Those are things we can, I think we could figure out later.
Okay. And I agree. I just want to make sure that he's not misled. You know, there's things can be misinterpreted pretty easily with that. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think your point, Brett, is well taken. I would suggest, I know we're wanting to rush this to let people know what's going on, but I almost think maybe taking another week and making sure we've got an agreement that's in writing saying, here's what, you know, we're offering, and then having him sign it would be better.
And what would we have him sign? Would it be the memo of understanding?
A memo of understanding is generally just, you know, to talk. He'd be signing in, you know, what do we call it, Dave, when we have done that in the past?
Yeah, we don't want an employment agreement or employment contract. Right. We don't want that.
Right.
It's an acceptance.
And I don't know that the signature of signing anything,
I guess.
Yeah, and the memo of understanding would be fine, but I think just shaking his hand, you know, that he knows what he's shaking on, and we know what he's shaking on, and so if there's a piece of paper just saying here's what the understanding is, but I'm pretty sure
the offer letter is the
he could walk regardless.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess Elizabeth has put together offer letters, hasn't she, for each? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Brad, is to not announce it the following Sunday, but to do it maybe the Sunday after that, when we've dotted some I's and crossed some T's.
Yeah, that's what my training would tell you.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I know folks are anxious. And, but they're, you know, being solid and prudent is not a bad thing. And it'd be the 22nd, and I'm doing the Shepherd's Prayer that day, right before Christmas.
Yeah. So,
hey, I'll see what I can come up with here. Well, Santa will pull something out of a bag. Real quick, while I have you guys, I'm going to be traveling this weekend. Won't be here. So, Brad, would you sign checks for me this weekend?
Yep, no problem.
Thank you. And then, since we're all together, is there any more about the pancake breakfast logistics that you guys want to clarify?
So, did everybody get the email I sent today?
Okay, I talked to my wife, and she says she's a greeter.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think we'll have, all we need is to fill two more spots for one of the tables. And I think I mean I didn't even have Gwen down there. I think you even mentioned Gwen. I forgot her and Beata and Susan. And so, yeah, we can just fill those in and everybody working together. I think it'd be fine. So yeah, just look at that email and basically, I think it's everybody getting there at 8:15. Those Ross and Jaden being there at 8, and I'll be there before that to get the oven started so we can get cooking on that. So they're going out there tomorrow. We're getting it set up, and then so I think it's all good. So
neat.
Hey, Steve, I won't be there tomorrow morning. I've got a meeting at the hospital.
Okay.
Rick's back in the hospital, so I'm going to meet with his doctors in the morning. So.
Okay. Mm. We'll miss you. Did you read your chapter?
No.
That's why you're not going to be there, really. Okay.
Yeah, the truth comes out.
The chapters are getting harder to read, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'll get it read.
I won't tell, I promise.
What book are you going through?
The Road to Courage. The Road to Character. By David Morris.
That's
no, David
Harris.
David Morris is the one that's been visiting us. The other one is David something. So yeah. It's a hard book to read. So
it's a good book, but it's hard.
It is, yeah. The first three chapters were the best. It's been good. So okay. I'll do the math on this compensation package. The only thing I really have to change is the retirement.
Yeah.
And then I'll total it up.
Yeah.
And I'll do that. I'll retype it. And then I'll talk with him about all this. And then I took notes about some different things here.
Are we sure we want to trust Autry with doing math?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Do you guys have the chat?
Yes. Good job.
Have the what?
Down at the bottom.
Look in the chat. Hopefully all the numbers are in there.
Open up your chat over there.
Oh,
Mr. Got it. Okay.
Mr. Brett's been, you know.
Yeah,
he's been. I tried to put our notes in there and.
Got everything you need right there, Autry.
Oh, okay. Mm. Let me. Got it.
Can you print it? Oh, you can send it, looks like.
Yeah, I photocopied it. Those numbers there.
I can
there.
Email it to you.
Okay, email it to me. That'd be good.
Yeah.
I think that retirement match, wouldn't that be $2,400, Brett?
I just added the, hold on.
3% of 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. All right. I'll let you do the final math. There it is.
Okay. Very nice.
Great. All right. Super. Be praying, boy. I hope this works out.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be asking questions if it's not right. A possibility. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, keep praying.
Yeah.
I think it's a good offer. I think it's a little sweeter package, and it's what he wants to do. You know, it's, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
And we're such wonderful people.
So, Steve Walker, will you lead a prayer as we finish up?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for this evening, and Father, it's just
a wonderful thing when you just make things happen, and it's very spectacular to be a part of your will and seeing it come to fruition. And we just lay all this at your feet and just ask for your guidance and wisdom, and be with the Mondays as they kind of mull this over. And we just pray that the Spirit can guide their thought process and help them to come to the conclusion that will bring glory to the kingdom. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, guys. I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow. I'll send an email after I talk to him on the phone. I probably won't. He'll keep everything close to his chest, probably. But then he may not. He's an artist. So,
hey, Steve. All right,
thanks, Steve.
All right. Use my office email tomorrow, will you?
Okay, got it. All right.
Thank you.
Is the Mid County MX Elders, is that got your personal email in it? I'll figure it out. No, I don't know if I can figure it out.
Brad, I think it does go to his work email, so that should work.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, see you guys.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.